Welcome to the Journal of Accountancy podcast. I am Jeff Drew, and today we are with Carlton Collins, the longtime writer of the Tech Q&A column for J of A. We will talk to Carlton momentarily, but before that, let's take a moment to hear a word from our sponsor.
Running a business is rarely simple, but earning rewards can be. With the Chase Inc. Business Unlimited card, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase for whatever your business needs. Restrictions and limitations apply. Offer subject to change. Cards are issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank and a member FDIC.
Welcome back. This is a bittersweet time for me to be talking to Carlton, because Carlton, who has been our most popular writer for the entirety of the 8 years that I have been with the Journal of Accountancy, is retiring as Tech Q&A writer after 9 years. He was here even longer than me. And he will leave a legacy, building on the legacy of Stanley Zarwin, who started the column almost 20 years ago, of basically helping, you know, hundreds of thousands of CPAs with basic technology, sophisticated technology, helping them get set up, helping them use Excel better, or helping them use QuickBooks better, or helping them set up their workspaces more ergonomically. And it goes on and on and on, the topics he covered. And Carlton, I kind of wanted to talk about, I don't think people would know the process and where you came up with all of these questions, or where these questions came up, came from, that you answered over the years. So, you know, you want to start with that? Start kind of at the beginning?
Okay. Hey, thank you, Jeff. It's been an amazing run, and working with the Journal of Accountancy has been a great honor in my life. What was asked of me was to come up with topics to turn into articles over the next 9 years. And the thing about the Tech Q&A column is it's formatted in terms of a Q&A. We have to put a question in there and then answer the question. And a lot of the topics did indeed come from CPAs who were asking questions, but not all of them. Some of them were topics that were just trendy topics and new products that had come out. And we would form the articles in the form of a question and then answer it. And I like that format a lot. It makes you think about what you're trying to answer first before you dive into the article. But where did my topics come from was pretty easy. Having been a CPE instructor in technology starting out in 1987, and having delivered several thousand technology lectures and still doing that, I've got one tomorrow here in November 2019, so I'm still doing that. I've got the opportunity to listen to CPAs who came up to me at breaks and raised their hands during the presentations and ask questions, and I always kept a pad of paper and a pen ready to write down any topics or any questions that I thought might make good fodder for a future Journal of Accountancy article. So a lot of them came from that. Another place that I ferreted out topics from is I would go into the QBooks that are sold, and I wouldn't really read the book, but the margarines. If you get a QBook, there it's about 3 or 4 inches thick. But if you look and thumb through the margarines, there's little tiny paragraphs in the margins that have some special advanced tips. And actually, I enjoyed those, reading through those.
What is a QBook?
Q is the publisher of a technology book. You've heard about like the Dummy series. That's one publisher. Yeah. Well, Q is a very professional series of, and they have books on, you know, starting with Windows for Workgroups all your operating systems, all your products like Excel and Word. And so I've enjoyed that, and that's one of my secrets where I would pluck out new little article ideas. But another thing I would do is I would do something where I call it eating software. Anytime a new software product that looked interesting would emerge for the CPA community, I would put on my computer, and then I would go through every menu option, trying to figure out each feature, trying to look for a feature I hadn't seen before, one that I thought was really interesting and print-worthy, and I would write about it. And so you would spend a lot of time in the help files, too, trying to look at the explanations and look at something that might be a new tool or a new a new sophisticated way that CPAs could work with their information to produce better products and produce their work faster. So I was always on the lookout. But for the first 5 years, it was pretty easy because I had a lot of the topics already in my head. Having been a presenter for so long, I would just sit down and I would just write. I would just, here's what I want to do, and I would just click away on the keyboard, and I'd have an article in rough draft form in no time. I would take my dismal rough draft articles and send them up to you guys at the J of A, and your editors would polish them into print-worthy material, which made my job very easy.
We may talk about the writing process during this conversation. Why don't we do it now so I don't promise something we don't deliver on? One thing that you have written about for us and you've mentioned in your columns and writing for us is that it is more important to great work isn't written, it's rewritten. So now you would give the editors here credit, and we made our contributions, but you probably more so than any writer I've worked with here would go back in and you would make a number of changes yourself because it wasn't up to your standard, or you thought of a better way to put it. And so over the years, I think it's interesting. I'm not sure people really realized like how exacting your standards were for every part of what you were putting into Tech Q&A, because we would also get the questions through the J of A Tech email address, the one that's listed in the magazine with a column.
Yeah, lots of those.
Yep. And Carlton, we have the disclaimer in there that maybe every question wouldn't be answered, but actually I'm pretty sure Carlton answered every single one I ever sent him. And so some of those I thought I would say, hey, what do you think about doing an item on this? And he would say, well, that one is just, that's too narrow. Or this one is just, you know, it's not, you know, I thought it would be decent, but Carlton knew that he would have something better. So your standards over the years were so high that that's a reason why the column has been so successful. And it's going to be a huge challenge for us going forward to try to maintain that level of discernment, so to speak.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, Jeff. You've always flattered me, which I think is your goal as an editor, is to keep the writers happy, even if they don't deserve it. But that's good. But I do appreciate that. Okay. I want to tell you, you may not have ever heard this from me before, but how my history in writing. In high school and college, I was the world's worst writer, really. And this was back before you had word processors. So what really was happening was my first draft was always my final draft in high school and college. And I didn't take time to rewrite it after the first draft. And so it was always a rough draft. And I didn't consider myself a good writer. Never did. But then in college, I had something happen to me. I wrote a paper on governmental regulations of accounting, and I misspelled the word governmental 172 times. And the day before I was supposed to turn it in, I had the young lady I had been dating proofread it, and she found the typo. Yeah. I didn't know there was an extra N there in government, but I do now. So I was just going to go with the paper because I didn't type, but she stayed up all night long, and even though she had two tests the next day, she retyped it for me. So I got her back by marrying her. So that was my first real problem with writing. And then later as a CPA, I wrote a feasibility study, a first draft of a feasibility study about 1983. It was a long document, about 300 pages long. I'd spent a lot of time on it. And we sent it out to all the lawyers for a review. And I got back 900 pages of review comments on the 300 pages I'd written. And I can remember this very vividly after going through it. Every single one of the review comments was valid. Not a single one was invalid. And I was really embarrassed by the poor writing. And that was really a wake-up call. Finally, 2 years into my CPA career, it was a wake-up call that you had to become a better writer. And that's when I learned good work isn't written, it's rewritten. And anybody out there that's listening to this can be a great writer if you're willing to just keep going through and reviewing 15, 20, or 30 times. With the articles of the J of A, I think we do six rounds of reviews with six editors. And so there's close to 36 reviews, including four additional reviews before I turn it in. So that's you're right. You put your best foot forward writing, and that's your rough draft. But then you work on polishing it. One review might look for spelling and capitalization and punctuations. The next review might look for flow. The next review might look for good opening and conclusionary sentences for each paragraph. The next one might, you read it out loud to see if it has the iambic pentameter that you're looking for to get good flow. You look at it again for politics. Then you look at it again to remove all the adjectives and adverbs that you possibly can, because that's what makes writing technical writing is to remove those inflections. And so I think that rewriting stuff helped me become a little better writer, and I'm really pleased with it. I wish I could go back to high school and college now and redo all the stuff I've written, because I could make a better go out of it if I could just rewrite it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I'm sure people are saying, wait, we're talking to Colton Collins, we're talking about writing, but so the fact that I'm an editor and potential future writers are listening really has nothing to do with why I brought up this topic, but I always thought, and you had told me that story before, and I always thought that was a great example of learning as you go and then improving and finding another area where you excelled in. So you had kind of almost stumbled into speaking, for example, and then, gosh, it was 30-something years you'd been doing keynote speeches, the CPE classes, and some of those classes – a lot of those classes were all-day classes where you would teach the technology and do the presentations. And I've seen you in action. It was phenomenal. Just watching you go, and you used to have this setup. We talked about it before, that you'd bring in five computers and you would go through everything. So my guess the said all this to get to the question, like, over the 9 years of doing tech Q&A, or even before, like, what are the biggest, like, kind of technology lessons you've learned, or the coolest things you've seen, or what stands out, like, as you're looking at, you know, kind of moving on to a next phase?
Okay. Well, I can tell you that, first of all, my life as a CP presenter really goes hand in hand with my life as a writer for the CPA Journal, because I'm covering the topics and technology that the CPAs want to hear, and I'm fielding their questions. And so that speaking makes me a better writer, and I think the writing makes me a better speaker, because you really don't know a topic until you researched it and written about it and had it reviewed professionally by a lot of really smart people. And so then next time you stand in front of an audience, you know a little bit more, because sometimes the reviewers pointed out your flaws in your thinking and your knowledge base, or added to your knowledge base. So that always worked out well. But your question about – what was your question?
The question is, I'm guessing, like, as you were moving on to, you know, a post-tech Q&A –
yeah.
Phase, like, what pops in your mind? I mean, your last one is going to be in the December, it's in the December Journal of Accountancy.
Well, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss it a lot. I really enjoy diving into technology. I tell people this all the time. I absolutely love technology, but at the same breath, I absolutely hate technology. There's not a day that goes by that I don't want to kick Bill Gates right in the teeth sometimes, because technology will let you down. Every one of us have problems and issues and bugaboos and screen freeze-ups and where'd that file go? And that's a part of the technology, because it's complicated and it's terrific. But at the same time, if you could even imagine going back to life without all this technology, I was, and I don't want to say fortunate enough, but I guess I was fortunate enough. I started my CPA career without this technology. I started preparing tax returns with the government forms, and we used the little correction tape that you put over numbers that you miswrote, and you'd write over them and make Xerox copies of them by hand. It was ridiculous. I remember us huddled around our first fax machine going, wow, look at that. And it was like barely enough speed, but it was still phenomenal that we could receive a fax over the phone line. Yeah. But the technologies we have now, we take for granted. I don't know how we don't have so much available time now. I was talking to my wife the other day, all these great technologies we have, and yet we still feel like we don't have any available time. But everything that's just a push of a button and all this stuff is done. But what I've enjoyed about writing the article is being able to share it all with CPAs. The stuff that I find interesting was pretty much what I wrote about. If it didn't interest me, I wouldn't write about it. There's a lot of topics that people really tried to promote out there. One of them a few years ago was the Apple Watch. And even Jeff was like, you got to write about this. I'm like, there's no way that's going to be popular. We've already covered the topic of smaller screens is not what we want. Cell phones got smaller and smaller and smaller until we couldn't read them, and then we went back to bigger ones. And I knew that that Apple Watch would be a no deal for most CPAs, and I think it wasn't. So there's things that didn't tickle my fancy. I just didn't write about it. Everything I wrote about it was stuff that was interesting to me, whether it was interesting to my editors, I don't know, but then the readers, I don't know, but that was my driving force.
Well, it's definitely interesting to the readers, usually, almost always to the editor, and for potential future writers out there. I do want to say that I asked him to do the Apple Watch thing. I learned long ago not to tell him to do something, because if Carlton wasn't into it, then there's a darn good reason he wasn't into it. And if he turned in something and I thought to myself, well, I'm not so sure about this topic, but I'd go ahead and we'd go ahead and run it. And I mean, we'd ask questions and hone it sometimes and probably irritate you with some of the stuff we did. But I'd say 90% of the time it would go through and those would get some of the highest ratings or highest internet traffic or both. And so I learned over the years, trust the guy who actually knows what he's talking about. And you've been, more than trustworthy over the years.
Well, they were really good instincts. It's just the being able to talk to all the CPAs from all the different states is probably keeps me in tune with what they're really interested in. So yeah, that's a driving force there.
Yeah.
One of the harder things about writing for the Journal of Accountancy is it's a referee journal, and so the standards are really high and the reviews are really high, and you have to source everything. And I would write a lot of articles where I would include information that I thought was just common knowledge. For example, 4G technology supports up to 4 channels, whereas 5G technology supports 256 channels, and to me, everybody should just know that. It's common knowledge, right? But if I write that in an article, I would get back review questions like, well, where does this information come from? You need to verify it. And I would spend a lot of time going back to figure out and get the sources so that they could see it documented and proving that every number I use and every article is absolutely factually correct according to some credible source. So that's one of the things I had to learn about writing for the journal is how to go back and source all of the numbers that I was throwing out there that I just assumed everybody knew, but
yeah, so
not the case.
Is that the real reason you're leaving?
It's
having
that,
to deal with me.
That's it.
Having to
deal no with more sourcing.
Yeah. Well, as you think about not having to worry about producing 2,200 words every month, answering technology questions, What advice would you give to your readers with how they should approach technology? What should they be thinking about? What should they be learning about? What would your advice be?
I think that every one of us, and I'll include myself in that category too, we all get this technology and we have it available to us. It's sitting on the shelves. It's sitting in our computer. It's sitting in our pocket on our smartphone, and we don't master it. There's so many things that we just don't know. And I love sitting down with a CPA and show them, click, click, click. And like, oh my gosh, what is that? Well, it's called a pivot table and does what you were trying to do for 2 hours there in about 5 seconds. And they go, wow, that's really amazing. Or if you pull an app down and put that on their smartphone and show them how to use that to monitor their time or to track their mileage and things of this nature, they're like, oh my gosh, that's easy. Why wouldn't we all be doing that? And the only reason we don't all use this technology available is there's a lack of knowledge. And so you've really got, it's not enough for you to have the technology. You need to know it. And that's the hard part, because you've got to invest time to learn it and remember it. And so how many of us have a whole bunch of extra hours to sit around and learn the extra technology and all the little features? Not a lot of us out there. I think that's why people like the J of A articles, because we're trying to ferret out the stuff that you really should know about these and put them out there. And that's a bigger jump start for them than having to dig it out themselves. But that's one thing I've liked about Write for the Journal, is it's forced me to dig into all the products and pull out the very best nuggets of gold that are laying in those software products and hardware products to share with the readers. So I've liked that a lot.
So this has been the J of A podcast with our guest Carlton Collins. We post podcasts every week on thejournalofaccountancy.com. You can also get them through Apple Podcasts, Podomatic, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.